Amen, brother. Very deep truth tonight. I trust we are people that are willing to pick up, that we're people of compassion. And I greet you tonight in Jesus Christ, the name of Jesus Christ, who's truly the example of compassion. He's not. He's a God of mercy, a God of love. Thinking about the church tonight, as you know, shared about compassion. We need that so much in the church, do we not, today? We need people that care. We need people that reach out in compassion. If there's extra weight to carry or heavy burdens to carry in our lives, we see it maybe not just in our neighbors, but in our very church life. Just recently, I just was reminded again how church should be like a hospital. You know what I mean by that? When church should be like a hospital, it's like there are hurting people in the church. There are people that are sick physically. They need visitation. There are people that are sick mentally, spiritually. They need much prayer. There's people that need anointing. There's people that need counseling. There's just a lot of needs in our churches today. And God is calling us to be people of compassion and to be people that pick up each other, help each other carry the loads that weren't meant just for us to carry by ourselves. This evening, I'm blessed to be here. My mind went back 30 years ago, I believe, when this church was established. Back in 1988, I believe it was, and this church was started. And I was thinking, I remember that time. I was like 17 years old, teenager. And you know, as I'm here tonight, I rejoice to see that the church is still going on. Praise the Lord. The church is still going after 30 years. And I know there's some here that tonight that had been here from the beginning. And so God is good tonight, is he not? To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. No, it's not always an easy journey of life that we're on. There are lots of rocks to climb on. There's a lot of hills, a lot of steep mountains to go through, a lot of waters to cross, deep waters, sometimes of fires. There's all kinds of storms. But you know, tonight, Jesus wants to continue to go with us through the storms of life. He wants to continue to tell us that we need to trust in the Lord with all our heart, lean not onto our own understanding, but on all our ways acknowledge him, and he's going to direct our paths. So this evening, I'd like to encourage you to keep trusting the Lord with all your heart. And last Sunday, a brother in our church, he just mention how, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? It means to just lean on the Lord with your total weight. It's like your all. Your total weight, you just lean on the Lord for whatever circumstance that you go through. I would like to just give you an update before we get to the main part of the message tonight. Some of you may be wondering how the families are doing in our church that had the serious accident here 2 weeks ago on a Sunday morning on their way to church. Dan and Rose King and Mark and Linda Stolzfus's two boys. So there was two vehicles involved and two brothers in one vehicle and a family of five in the other. So there was seven people that were hurt. Some very seriously critical. And It was a good experience for our church to go through. You know, the accident was not pretty. No, it was a terrible crash. And there was some severe injuries and you know, change of plans of just, yeah, heartbreaking when you hear news like that, shocking, before a church starts. But there's a lot of good things came out from this experience 2 weeks ago when it happened. And one of those is that the power of prayer is just amazing. The power of prayer. You know, our church was just so unified together in prayer when they found that news out that Sunday morning. And everybody just stopped where they were. Maybe some were just coming in the church, some already seated, but it was just amazing. You know, you just stop where you are and you're just praying, crying out to God that his guardian angels may be there, not knowing what the outcome would be, but just knowing that it was serious. So I say it's been a good experience for our church because it has unified us together in many different ways. And you know, above all that, God is in control of those types of things that happen in our lives. And one of the men that was in the accident, he actually seen angels around the accident scene. He seen angels. The presence of God was there. It was there. And I don't know how it works with, and some people feel that we all have a guardian angel. I think maybe we do. We each have a guardian angel over us. And perhaps there's angels in heaven that are just waiting to come to the rescue at times of maybe a bad accident or different situations that happen in our life. And then when we start praying and it just releases them. They just come. And they just protect. That's just, I don't know how that all works in the spiritual realm. But I know it's real. It's real. So anyhow, I just praise God tonight. To God be the glory. Today, the boy that was still at Hershey, he came home today. And all seven of them are at home after 2 weeks after this happening. And it's just, there's miraculous healing been taking place. They're way ahead of the doctor's schedule. Doctors have been amazed. So to God be the glory tonight. And for me, being a pastor of the church there and going through that last 2 weeks, and also with the, we had our Christian Aid open house just last weekend, it seemed my mind was just continuously different places and very busy. But God's grace is there. God's grace is sufficient for all our needs that we have. So some of you probably knew about it. Thank you for praying. Continue to pray for the family. There's still a lot of healing, physical healing needs to take place at home. And there's spiritual healing is going to take place as well. I believe a church is like a hospital. We in times like that, we just unify together and we do what we can to help each other. Okay, this evening, I have chosen to speak about the burdens of life that come upon us. I believe sometimes God brings burdens in our life. And burdens, often we think of what is a burden? Isn't it something that we think about, something that is carried? A burden is sometimes a certain task that you're given to do in life, a responsibility. We think of that as a burden sometimes. Also, we think of a burden tonight as a gift. And as in my studies, when I studied this about burdens in life, especially how God brings burdens to us, did you ever think about a burden tonight as a gift from God to you? Did you ever think about the responsibility that you have as a father tonight, the responsibility that you have as a pastor or a teacher or a chaplain, a school teacher, the responsibility that God has given to you? And it seems hard sometimes, the task that has been given to you. Tonight, I'd like for us to think about that God gives us gifts. He gives us different tasks and responsibilities. And the gifts that he has given to us, he has not meant for us to carry them ourselves or to try to work it out with our own strength. He is wanting us to give that gift back to him. Whatever responsibility we have, whatever task God has given to us, it may be maybe it's a year of service somewhere, or whatever it is. Jesus Christ wants us to yoke together with Him in that work, in that task that we have. He wants us to yoke together with Him, and He wants to carry that load for us as we go through that. So there's a scripture in Proverbs 55, or Psalm 55. You can turn your Bibles there tonight. Psalm 55, verse 22. Where it says, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall not suffer the righteous to be moved. Now, what does that verse mean? If you look in the meaning of the word burden there, it actually means gift. Cast thy gift. Cast thy task. As a mother in the home, you have responsibility to housework. You have responsibility to care for your children. You are to cast the task or responsibility you have for the day as you wake up in the morning, as you seek God and you think about the heavy workload that you have for today. All the laundry or all the cleaning, taking care of the children. Maybe some are sick, and all the housework that needs to be done. For us men, we wake up in the morning and we have responsibility to meet the needs of our family, to keep food on the table. So we go to work, we labor, we toil, we get tired. Jesus is saying that we are to cast our burdens upon Him and He shall sustain us. He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. And what that means is it's not saying that there won't be storms come in our life or situations come in our family where sometimes we, you know, just like a storm outside, sometimes the trees, some of those boughs, they go way down. It's like the tree almost falls over. It starts laying down almost to the ground because of the wind, because of the storm. What that verse is saying is, even though for a short season we will go through difficult times, He says He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. He will not suffer us to be pulled out by the roots. Isn't that a comfort, a promise tonight for the righteous? He will not suffer the righteous to be moved. He will not pull us out by the roots. But even in those difficult times, He will come to our rescue as we cry out to Him. He will set us free from sin. I was just amazed at the billboard I seen on the way out here tonight. There at Clark's Ferry, it says, billboard, Jesus will free you from sin. A wonderful place to have a billboard. Amazing place to have a billboard. Praise God. There are people that are willing to give money to have a billboard there at Clark's Ferry. Just the location there is just, I think there's a lot of sin. There's a lot of immorality that goes on in those places. Especially it seems in that area, I've noticed already over the years. Jesus Christ will free you from sin. And those are the kinds of burdens tonight that are the opposite of what God wants us to carry. We have the devil's burdens on one hand, and then we have the burdens that God gives us, the responsibilities, the tasks, whatever it is, in life. Some burdens are meant to bear on our own. We have sometimes sicknesses that we bear, our own bodies bear them. And then we have burdens that we share, like the brother was sharing tonight. I appreciate that illustration. We need, you know, what's mine is yours. We share the burdens of life. We help each other when things are difficult. But thinking about the burdens of the devil's burdens, and we'd like to touch on that later on. But my concern is for the church today that there's too many of us that are carrying the devil's burdens. And sometimes those bundles that we carry on our shoulders, the devil's burdens, you know, if we don't get rid of those bags that shouldn't be there, the garbage or whatever it is, it seems the devil keeps tightening the ropes on those bundles that he has on our shoulders. And we call that strongholds. We call it, strongholds in our life, sin. So this evening, I trust that we all have a desire to be free from sin, be free from the devil's burdens, but pursue to bear one another's burdens, as the Bible says, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Galatians chapter 6 says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. It also says, let every man bear his own burden. So there are some burdens that we need to cast on the Lord. There are some burdens that need to be shared. And there are other burdens that we need to carry on our own. We have our own responsibilities in life. I'm responsible for my life. I'm responsible for confessing my sins. I'm responsible to be obedient to God's word and to the Holy Spirit as He speaks to me, as He prompts me. You know, just yesterday as I was at home, I was meditating on God's word, and the Holy Spirit prompted me in a verse in 1 Corinthians 10 where it talks about there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God will with the temptation or trial, in that verse, make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. And right away the Lord told me, you need to go down to Dan and Rose, and you just need to encourage them with that verse. The ones that were in the accident, husband and wife. And there they were at home, you know, they're sitting side by side in chairs and just waiting on healing. And a lot of time to think, a lot of time for visitors to come. But, you know, when the Holy Spirit speaks to us, when he tells us to do something, we better move. When He tells us to talk to our neighbor about Jesus, or if He tells us to give our testimony about what God has done in our life. And you know when the promptings of the Spirit are in your life. You know, how often do we sometimes just push it off, and then after a while it goes away, the nudging of the Spirit. So, I don't know, there's just different times in my life where sometimes I need to make confessions to my children, say, I'm sorry. You know, that's one of the hardest things for us dads to say, isn't it? I'm sorry, I made a mistake, I failed you. But it needs to happen for growth in our Christian life, for growth in our family, and to be free from sin, those strongholds sometimes that are passed on from generation to generation. You know, if those strongholds aren't taken care of, if that sin isn't dealt with, it's just going to keep snowballing, I believe. So may God help us to not carry the devil's burden, but to bear one another's burdens. So this evening, Jesus Christ, He's the greatest burden bearer that we have. And you think of the intense pain. You think of Jesus when He carried that timber. He carried His own cross. And you think about the spikes that went through His flesh, His hands and His feet. You think about the burden that He carried for you and I tonight. You know, there's been no person on earth that has had such a great burden to bear like Jesus did. He carried our sorrows. By His stripes we are healed. He bore it all for you and I tonight. So we have a person to go to. No matter what we face in life, no matter what the difficulty is, we have Jesus to go to, our greatest burden bearer, and He will help us carry the load. And it's interesting, the verse in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 to 30, where Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. That verse there and the verse in Psalm 55, the word burden there, both of those verses, have a thought about gifts. a task or responsibility that God has given to us. So what is the task, again, that you have been given as an individual? What is the task that right now that God is asking you to do? What is your responsibility? Is it raising a godly family? Child training? Answering questions that your teenagers have? You know, I think teenagers today want answers. They want answers to the questions that they have. So are we going to be willing to take time with our teenagers and just love them with all our heart, even though there's maybe they think some things different than we do? Are we going to take time to listen to what they have to say? Your responsibility tonight as a father is to love your wife. That's husband. We are to love our wife. Leading out in family devotions. Tonight it may be teaching school. Maybe there is a special child in your home, maybe a handicapped child or a child that has special needs in your family. So God has given you the task to take care of this child. Church responsibilities, maybe preaching, teaching Sunday school, visitation, starting a mission project. You know, I believe churches today need to be involved in missions. It seems if we're not involved in some kind of mission work, a church soon starts to, becomes dead. If we're not involved in some kind of mission, maybe it's prison ministry or passing out tracts, going somewhere and just preaching the gospel, giving a program, nursing homes, whatever it is. I'm sure you're involved in missions tonight. And I think that's part of what keeps a church alive. We have to get the focus off of ourselves. And oftentimes when we start focusing on ourselves, each other, there's bickering, there's things come up that shouldn't. And we have a tendency to become critical at each other or having a spirit that is negative and so on and throughout church life. But God has been teaching me a lot of things about this. I'd just like to share this. In my own testimony is that I've often had this critical spirit toward other people. Having a critical spirit or just a spirit of condemnation. When people didn't perform maybe like I thought they should. I don't know if anyone can identify with that tonight or not. But for me, in my own personal life, I struggle with that. I struggle with that a lot. And I'm still trying to find my way through all that. But, you know, I've learned to appreciate people who they are. I can look at them face to face, whereas, you know, some people years ago, I couldn't have done that. But today, I can look at them face to face. Why? But it's because Jesus Christ has been working in my heart. He's given me a different kind of spirit as I relate to people. And sometimes we do need to listen to their perspective, even though it's maybe different than ours. So I think relationships are important in family and in church. But I am concerned about the spirit of criticism or the spirit of condemnation that sometimes I sense in our churches today. I think we need to be free from that somehow. And we need to have spirit of exhortation. Yeah, we need to have correction. We need to have God's love pour into our heart, first of all. And as we relate to other people with His love. And that's been my prayer as well. That somehow, how can I experience more of God's love that controls my life? If I have truly God's love, I will want to reach out to my neighbor. I will want to try to reach out to the Muslims that I meet at the workplace or unbelievers that I meet at the workplace. It will be easier for me to talk to this trucker that comes to Christian Aid Ministries, someone I have no idea who it is. You know one thing, you can't just judge a person by how he looks. I found that out a number of times with truckers. They're Christian aid ministries. You know, sometimes they may have long hair, they may have tattoos. And you know what? They're willing to receive a tract. They're willing to talk sometimes. It's amazing. Sometimes that spirit of fear keeps you from reaching out to those kinds of people. And I think that's another one of the things that tonight I just like to emphasize, that they have the spirit of condemnation, the spirit of being critical. And I also think the spirit of fear often handicaps us as believers. We have this spirit of fear in our life, and it just paralyzes us. So I think those types of things are burdens. I don't believe that we should be carrying fear and condemnation on people and those types of things. I'm getting ahead of the message, but this is just the way the Lord is directing here tonight. I'm just going to preach how the Spirit leads. I was going to share some of that toward the end of the message, but tonight I really do have a burden for in my own life, you know, things that I've experienced and how that can be changed, and how maybe there's someone here this evening that may be struggling with those types of things, burdens that we can be free from. Okay, thinking about bearing one another's burdens, Galatians chapter 6, verse 2. And then in John 15:12, say, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That's Jesus' words. "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." So this love tonight is the motivation principle implied in Galatians 2, where it says, "Bear you one another's burdens." The law, as referenced here, is built on the premises of love. This is where the church should be alive and active, meeting the spiritual, physical, emotional, and financial needs of the local body of believers. So how is it with us tonight? Are the physical, are the emotional, the spiritual needs, are the financial needs being met among us? And that's a challenge. We're everybody's so busy with their own jobs and responsibilities. And sometimes, I would say a lot of times, the spiritual needs are being overlooked. You know, the physical needs, if there's a hospital bill or if there's someone has an accident, you know, we're oftentimes there to help. Seems the Anabaptist people, we try to, in our culture, has been to help when there's needs. If someone has a fire, we help. And so on. If there's a death in the family, we're there. If there's meals to be taken in, a mother has a newborn, and the mothers prepare meals for the family. Physical needs. We tend to overlook, I believe, or sometimes ignore the spiritual needs among us. And maybe some of that is because we're not willing to share. We're not willing to be honest with ourselves of what we're struggling with, of who we are as men, who we really are, what our struggles are. Times I think we're too reserved. We're not willing to be accountable maybe to a brother and a sister. And by the way, I do think accountability is very important for us. You know, especially with, I actually brought along tonight. I normally don't bring along the church, but here, the cell phone. Today we call it the smartphone. You know, brothers and sisters, we need accountability with each other. I'm convinced of that tonight. We need accountability with each other. We need to be honest with each other where we are, with our, not only our phones, but in things that we, struggles that we have in life. There is so much information. We're being bombarded with so much information in our day. And I think sometimes it keeps us from spreading the light, spreading the gospel to people that are sitting in darkness, people that need the gospel, because we have so many struggles in our own life we're trying to overcome, be victorious in, that, yeah, it's just, we're being bombarded with information. I was just challenged today. We had a brother from the country of the Republic of Georgia, which is, it's a country next to Iran, and he was there. He gave a mission awareness talk today in our church. And I was just so challenged, him and his wife. They are sold out to witness to Muslims over in Georgia at the airport. As these Iranians, as they go back and forth at the airport, they're every day, I don't know if it's every day, but that's what they do. They're like 60 years old, husband and wife, and they're giving out these Injils, New Testaments. And of course, they're in the language that they can read. The Muslims can read Arabic, and there's different languages that they give out. They have the Jesus film that they give out. It's a DVD. Just a number of different things, a packet of literature that. And he said that 80 to 90% of these Muslims are accepting what they're offering. They're taking these New Testaments. And I don't know what happens from there, but God only knows. But I was just challenged, you know, here we are in America. We have so many convenient, we have all kinds of things that we can use up our time. How much are we reaching out to our neighbors and just sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? I know oftentimes, and it can be just by our walk of life, we sometimes don't even have to say anything. They can see by our actions, by our lifestyle, whatever, if we are truly believers or not. But I was just really encouraged today as I heard that testimony of, you know, his testimony was that God is so good. He looked at himself like Mr. Nobody. I mean, yeah, of course he was somebody, but it was just like he was giving all glory to God. It was nothing that he was trying to lift up himself at all, what they're doing. So praise God, there's still people out there that are willing to be sold out. Also, I think, I talked about the spiritual needs, I think that we overlook sometimes. Why are these things overlooked in our families, our churches? Number one, oftentimes there's a lack of relationship. Number two, there's indifference to others. Number three, we're unwilling to sacrifice the time to those who are spiritually weary or hurting and despondent. These burdens, the spiritual burden left unheeded, will often result in spiritual casualty and loss, a price we cannot afford to pay. Raymond Brunk said this way, "If you are joyful, serve the unhappy. If you are joyful, serve the unhappy. If you are wise, think for the unlearned. If you are strong, support the weak." But what a challenge. You know, oftentimes we feel weak, do we not? We feel like we're weak ourselves, but we can be strong in the Lord, in the power of His might. We can fight against the darts of the wicked one, being strong in the Lord. It is possible. Praise God. One of the things that we could do for each other as we bear each other's burdens, I think one of the things that we've tried to do the last couple of years, my wife and I, is to pray for each family in the church before we go to bed at night. We don't always get it done, but just have a list of all the families in the church, and then each night take turns to pray for them by name. If you have missionaries that are out in other countries or other places in the United States, youth in voluntary service, we've started in our church to every week have a volunteer at church to send them a letter. Or to, just send them a letter by email, whatever it is, to all the missionaries for that week. Thinking about that, we need to carry the burden sometimes on our own. I'm responsible for my own confession, obedience, my prayer life. I talked about honesty, to be faithful. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 4 says, "For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day." You know, in our physical bodies, things happen that we get older and our body starts groaning. But you know, the inward man tonight should be renewed day by day, even though the outward man is perishing. There should be a fire that, you know, that's controlled by the Holy Spirit that controls our life. To be filled with the Spirit. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Singing psalms, singing hymns, you know, I think that is one way that if someone is singing on the job or wherever it is, I often think of there are people that are filled with the Spirit of God and it's just coming out of their life. Thinking more about the devil's burdens end here, I'd just like to share a few more things about that. Oftentimes, we can be wrapped up in ourselves. We can have selfish ambitions. And we can give in to the devil's lies that he brings to us. The Bible says, neither give place to the devil. Neither give place to the devil. And how often do we believe the lies that the devil puts in front of us? It may be, maybe it's lies of like, you know, you really did a bad thing here. You know, I doubt if you're saved. I doubt if you're saved. You know, how are you going to ever have victory over this in your life? The devil will just bombard us with questions and think that there's no way out. But tonight I'm here to proclaim by the power of Jesus Christ and His blood that there is freedom from sin. There is freedom from those burdens that the devil would like to weigh us down. That is pride, the sin of slander, the critical spirit I touched about earlier, fretting, anger, verbal and sexual abuse, a false profession, place seekers. In other words, people that like to have the highest seats, people that may look, they may look, it looks good on the outside and they like to have the highest seats somewhere. They're place seekers. But, you know, inward, it's like, their life is like, it's just like rottenness of bones. Jesus talked about that. He talked about the Pharisees and the religious leaders. I'm concerned about the spirit of fear, like I said before, condemnation. Or that I am not good enough. Tonight, Jesus Christ has paid it all. Jesus Christ has paid it all. And there is no sin, dear beloved, tonight that cannot be washed by the power of the blood of Jesus. The spirit of I will not change, or the spirit of bitterness and anger. The spirit of control. You know, there's some of us that like to control things. We like We like to control what's going to happen to our family. We like to control what's going to happen with our business. And, you know, we're right there just making sure things are, they don't get out of hand. But, you know, just thinking about the accident that happened 2 weeks ago at our church there, you know, none of us would have expected that. None of us expected that that's going to happen. And it was totally, God was in control. You know, Dan, he was a businessman. He was a man that, he was a go-getter. He was very active in business. And, you know, just like that, it stopped as far as going to work. And, but yeah, praise God, there was other people that were right there. They were helping carry his load and his secretaries and so on. So sometimes we realize when those times happen, yeah, we are not in control. God is control. He wants to, yeah, he teaches us different things at different times in our life. Tonight, these burdens of the devil are lifted at Calvary, what I was talking about. The devil would like to tie us down till we collapse on the ground with these burdens that will destroy us. They will destroy our families and our churches. The devil, he is a liar from the beginning, the Bible says. He truly is. I praise God tonight, and my testimony is with the songwriter, Jesus took my burden. I could no longer bear. Yes, Jesus took my burden in answer to my prayer. My anxious fears subsided. My spirit was made strong. Yes, Jesus took my burden and left me with a song. And I believe tonight that singing will do, you will be amazed what singing will do. As you speak forth the word of life, as you speak God's word verbally out loud, as you sing, I believe that is a powerful tool, powerful weapon against the enemy. If we mean business with God and we truly want to be victorious over stronghold sin in our life. On the narrow way, dear friends, tonight, Jesus is saying, cast your burden on me. Cast your burden on me, or drop it at the foot of the cross. Isaiah 58, verse 6. There are burdens of wickedness. There are burdens of, there's some very, a lot of strongholds in our day. And one of those is immorality. It talks about in Isaiah 58 there, burdens that can be set free by fasting and by prayer. There are strongholds of immorality that can be broken today. But you know, we need to submit ourselves to the will of God. We need to just cry out, say, God, I'm sorry. I failed. In conclusion, the message this evening. Number one, burdens can be gifts from God to give back to Him. He wants us to be yoked together as we have those gifts, as those tasks, responsibilities. He wants us to give us back to Him so we can be yoked together with Jesus Christ. As we're yoked together with Jesus, He is carrying a lot of that load, whereas we don't have to carry it ourselves anymore. Number two, some burdens are meant to bear. And I'm thinking of like sicknesses that we have. There's pain that we go through. There's personal responsibilities. And sometimes we bring burdens upon ourselves. The choices that we make in life. Oftentimes I think that the choices that we make, you know, we bring things upon ourselves, do we not? Let's not blame God. Oftentimes, you know, I tend to say, well, you know, blame God, this situation. Why did he do this or why did he do that? But isn't it often that sometimes it's our choices that we make in life? And we're all human. We all make mistakes. Some burdens are meant to share, especially when you think of in the church. Church is like a hospital. We care for each other. We lift each other up. And then think about the devil's burdens. You know, they're not meant for us to carry. Those can be cast down at the foot of the cross. Number four, however, we are responsible to God for our life in obedience and as far as living an honest life. We are responsible for our life. And may God help us to, when those, as we experience whatever burdens of life you're going through presently, or we'll go to experience in the future, that my encouragement tonight would be to learn to cast those burdens. Just like a fisherman, you know, he casts that net out there to catch some fish. He casts it out. That line goes out. He casts it out. That's the picture I like to think about the burdens that we face in life, no matter what it is. Let's cast them on Jesus Christ, because he wants to help us bear them. Well, thank you for your prayers. Thank you for your attention tonight. Like I said, continue to pray for us as a church there at Bethel. We've really gone through a lot, especially the last couple of weeks with what happened there. But I can truly say tonight it has been a good experience for our church to go through. It has unified us together in different ways. And not just our church, but I think it has far-reaching effects to other people as well. And the Lord was just teaching me through all this that I need to be more flexible. You know, with my schedule, I had a busy schedule we had Christian Aid Open House over that time. But it was amazing that it actually happened before the open house. And I had a couple days there where everything's prepared and I was able to do visitation. And that was such a blessing. But the Lord was just showing to me that I need to, you know, be flexible. If there are needs like that come up in the church, if there is hurts, if there is people that need prayer, well, we need to be there. We need to be there as much as we can. You know, in times like that, you don't always know, well, should I go now or should I wait? Are they going to get too much help? You know, there's what we need to pray, and God will show us the timing and all that. So I'd just like to say again tonight, to God be the glory. Great things he hath done. Lord bless you.
Hey, before we pray, I'd just like to share with you here. This is an email that I had got here a number of weeks ago. I think there's a Julian Stoltz who's wrote this. I get this to call it Radical. It's just a number of different blogs from different people. And there's one here that, thinking about church life and relationships, I'd just like to share this one with you here tonight before we close. He says here, a gospel culture is fundamental for healthy church relationships. God's grace must be a regular feature in our preaching, discipling, and daily interaction. Knowing Christ as our only hope, our only glory, frees us from the pressure of performance. As cliquey as it seems, security in Christ's love enables genuine relationships with others. The gospel also imbues us with a common attraction. We come together not because of any natural draw to each other, but because of our mutual attraction to our Savior. He draws people who would never relate in any other sphere, and he enables their relationship through his blood. Beyond promoting a gospel familiarity within our churches, we develop genuine church relationships. There are three ways: commitment, involvement, and service. Family relationships endure in part because they are forged over many years. Relationships are always in process. They are not static, and they take time. They don't happen overnight. We can be guilty of expecting the familiarity that comes with years without investing the time those relationships take. So stick with them. Commit to lengthy relationships. Be quick to invest in the people around you and slow to abandon them for less proven relationships. So I think it's what I'm saying is, you know, we come together because we have a love for Christ. And yes, we like to be with each other too, but God's love draws us closer together than anything else. And may God bless you in your relationships, your church, and with your family. Let's stand together for closing prayer.